Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
How many of you are enjoying the fruit of your gardens and things like that? Yesterday afternoon, Dorette sent Carson and I outside to go pick some plums. So we just went and we got a weird plum tree. I mean, has nothing to do with the sermon, but it's just kind of weird. It produces two separate varieties of plums. Is that weird? It was grafted that way. So it's got, well, anyhow, kind of cool. So Carson and I went out yesterday and picked plums, and Dorette made a plum tart. And it was plum tart. We're enjoying tomatoes and blackberries. Nobody wants to go pick the blackberries because they're just like, wow, you know, cut you up. Kind of got to wear welding leathers to go pick blackberries. But I'm enjoying the fruit of the ground. Are you? We got a couple trees that when we moved into our place that we're at, I don't know how long ago, almost 15 years ago. And, you know, things were kind of a mess outside, and Dorette's done a wonderful job kind of getting things up to snuff. And there's a few bushes out there that look like bushes, but I looked at these bushes and went, you know what? That's not a bush. That's a tree. I'm not an expert in plants, but we had a greenhouse. I kind of know a fair bit of things. So I looked at that and went, that's an apple leaf. That's an apple tree. But you know what? That apple bush was not reaching its potential because it was a bush. Apple tree's not made to be a bush, and we never ever saw apples come from that bush. But it was an apple tree. Did you know what? There's a lot of people that are designed to do certain things in God. They've never reached their potential yet because they're in, to use, you know, bush form. Interesting. So I kind of made, you know, we kind of mowed around it and did its deal and whatever until after a while I thought, you know what? This will just be a good deal. I'll, you know, really and truly, I never told my wife this, but I thought, let's see if I have any wisdom here. You know, the last part of my high school years, we as a family in Burlington, Colorado, no longer, you know, my step no longer farmed. We had a greenhouse and so grew stuff in a greenhouse, and I grew, I don't know, 4,000 to 6,000 tomato plants and 6,000 pepper plants and grew all sorts of stuff. So I thought, you know what, just secretly, I thought, I'm going to see if I can turn that bush and help it reach its potential. So I went out to that thing, and sure enough, after you pull all the bush stuff back, I found the trunk that had been cut off, and for whatever reason, it was cut down, but, you know, wasn't stumped out, and so it was there. So here this was, all this just growy stuff. It wasn't tall, didn't look like a tree or anything. It wasn't reaching its potential. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to see if I can turn that back and make it reach its potential. So I chose a couple branches, and I just thought, those are going to be the trunks now. Regardless if it really is, those are going to be the trunks now, and I'm going to cut everything else away. I'm going to focus this bush, try to turn it into a tree. And guess what? 2 years ago, that bush, I would love to say it really looks like a tree. It kind of looks like a tree. But it's getting there. But guess what? 2 years ago, that bush produced apples. Because it was created by God to be fruitful. To reach its potential. But because of a lack of discipline, let me say it another way, a lack of health, it was never reaching its potential. It was not fruitful. It looked green, but it was not doing what it was designed to do. Every living thing in the book of beginnings, in the book of Genesis, every living thing that God created, either animals or plants, this is one of the few times that you can say every in the same sentence and prove it to be true. Every living thing that God created was designed to be fruitful. To say it another way, to reproduce. To say it another way, to do something. Amen? More than just be. So every plant is designed to produce fruit on some level. Every animal, including humans, every animal is designed to be fruitful. And so I want to talk about that today. The Apostle Paul has some pretty incredible, pretty inspiring, challenging, whatever, things to say about it. Let's look in Colossians chapter 1. In fact, Jesus had the most poignant things to say about it. In John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, we're not going to go there. You can on your own. We'll get there in this series, but not today. But Jesus said this, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and who is the Father? And my Father is the vine dresser, right? I think the King James Version is the husbandman. He's the one that's in charge of it. And what did Jesus say that he would do? He said that the Father, the vine dresser, would prune the branches to do what? Produce more fruit. Everybody say more fruit. We were designed, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them a command in the book of Genesis. He said, be fruitful. Everybody say, be fruitful. Turn to your neighbor and say, be fruitful. We're talking about human being. Every living thing has been created to be fruitful. But in our lives as humans, we were designed, created by God. In other words, every one of us have the potential, but we have the mandate as well to be fruitful. In how much of life? Well, we're going to find out in what areas of life we're to be fruitful. I'll give you a clue. Every area of life, we're to be fruitful. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally. Put them all together. If you're a businessman, I'm telling you what, or a businesswoman, God wants you to be fruitful in your business. If you don't own a business, but you've worked for somebody, God wants you to be fruitful in your labors. Amen? God wants you to have a fruitful marriage. God wants you to have fruitful relationships. God doesn't want to take away and have you be barren. In fact, being barren is not in the mind of God. In the book of Genesis, 16 times, half of the times that God refers to fruitfulness in the Old Testament are in the book of beginnings, in the book of Genesis. Over and over and over. And when you get over into Jeremiah, when they go into the land that flows with milk and honey, how many of you know that's a picture of a fruitful land? He said that when they went into the land, he said, I want you to be in there and I want you to be fruitful. It's God's desire. It's God's will for us to be fruitful in life. And here's the thing. For us to be fruitful in the animal world and in the plant world, growing up, one side of my family were farmers. The Shawl side were farmers, had a few cattle, grew Charolais cattle. But my mom's side of the family were ranchers, cattle folk, and raised just a little bit of feed, but primarily cattle folk. So growing up, I in living in an agricultural community, small town in eastern Colorado, you're real close to things, close to the land and close to life. And you see this fruitfulness. And one of the things that shows up in fruitfulness is how fruitful something is always dependent on how healthy the fruit-bearing thing is. In other words, if you were to go out like now in this time of year in eastern Colorado, my county that I grew up in has been declared a disaster area because of the drought. But if somebody came from, and won't pick on city people, I'm just trying to make a point. If a person isn't familiar with stuff like that, somebody could come from, let's say, Denver. That's probably the closest big city to my area. They could come out to my area and drive out and some of the farms out there, and they could see corn stalks that are about that tall, which is pretty normal. Well, I guess now some of these varieties are up here, but this tall, and they could go, whoa, it looks like a corn plant. Smells like a corn plant. Flaps its late leaves like a corn plant. It's got its tassels coming out the top like a corn plant. Ooh, look, there's ears. Looks like a corn plant. Well, okay, it is a corn plant. So boy, it's green even, and man, that must be healthy. How many of you know, you can't just look at the plant fully and say it's fully healthy by just looks. How you really tell is you look at the fruit. So you take that ear and pull those husks back, and that will be the revelation of how healthy that plant is, right? If you pull those husks back, and you've got your 11 or 12 inch ear of corn that's loaded with kernels, what can you say about that corn stalk? Sure is healthy. But now out in my part of the country, there's a few of the irrigated places that are maybe like that, but we're kind of in dry land country out there. You pull those back, and even some of the irrigated places, there's just not enough water. The aquifer out there, the Ogallala aquifer out there is just kind of getting depleted. And you pull those things back now, and guess what you see? You see this old snaggletooth ear of corn that just kind of is there, and it's got silk all around it, but it looks like somebody that has about one quarter of their teeth in their mouth, right? There's maybe 50 kernels of corn that are, you know, just splattered here or there instead of this just big, healthy, round, filled up with the, and so you can look at that and go, oop, that something is suffering in that plant, right? You look at animals, cattle, horses, goats, pigs, sheep. You know what shows up when they're unhealthy? The reproduction goes south. Did you even know in the human race in America today, there's been a drop in the health of reproduction in men from 1940 now? And you know what they're tracing it to? Men's health. Isn't that interesting? Men's health is degrading, but guess where it's showing up? In their reproductive capabilities. Did you know in the body of Christ? The body of Christ, when it's healthy, it's fruitful. When it's unhealthy, it's unfruitful. Amen? So the first part that I want to talk about a little bit today is, because fruitfulness is twofold in my opinion. One is from the fruit that bears. The thing that bears the fruit, be it an animal or a plant, or for us as Christians, the bearer of the fruit is literally giving of themselves. Am I right? And the thing is we've got to develop this idea in our brain. Because sometimes when we think about being more fruitful and we hear, and you know, Jesus talking about the vine dresser, my father, the husbandman, the one that's in charge, he prunes the fruit so that it bears more fruit. Most of the time when Christians hear this idea of pruning, they put it in a negative light. But I want to encourage you with something. God wants us to not only be fruitful, but he wants us to be ever fruit bearing and bearing more fruit as time goes on. Amen. In other words, we ought to be getting better and not worse. Right? God wants us to be more fruitful, more fruitful. That stupid apple tree. Yeah, I'll call it a tree now. That apple tree, the pruning that I did on it began to break some things in its life. There's a thing in pruning trees that's called apical dominance. On the end of a ant, There's a cap of cells, and when you cut those cells off, it's called, you break the apical dominance, and it causes that tree to begin to do something else, and goes, ooh, we need to start doing something. Well, after a few years, because it took me a few years to turn this into an apple tree that actually is starting to reach its potential, because there's some things that begin to get pruned in its life. So, the obvious thing in this, in our own life, ask yourself this question. As a Christian, how fruitful are you? Which really, the deeper question is, how healthy are we? Because the more health we have, the more fruitful we'll be. So let's read how Paul states this. I think it's kind of cool. Verse 3 of Colossians 1. We give thanks to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, verse 4, I encourage you to underline it, put neon lights around it, marks, highlight, do whatever you want to do, because verse 4 is the key to the entire book, actually. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Right there is the perfect picture of what I'm talking about. Look at this. Paul says to the Colossian church, hey, we're giving thanks to God because we've heard of your faith. Could I say it this way? We've heard of your health, that you're so healthy. Man, you are a group of plants that are so healthy. Then what he says, we've heard of your faith and of your love for all the saints. And how many of you know, Paul didn't hear them say, oh, we love you, we love you. Because love gets transferred into action. He's saying, we heard of your faith and we've seen the fruit of your love. That's powerful, guys. Because wouldn't of you hate to have been the Colossian church and for him to have written a letter that started off differently. That said, you call yourself Christians? Well, where's the fruit? Instead, he's saying of the Colossian church, he said, we've heard of your faith. In other words, when we become a Christian, we enter the faith, we live by faith, and then we die in the faith. And the thing is this, are we healthy as a Christian to be at a spot of producing fruit. For a few years, I've got a stud horse that I bred out. And I had a client that brought a horse to me that said, well, you know, the horse is kind of not, hasn't done well for a while. And I said, you know, this is just on the phone. Didn't know what the horse looked like. And boy, we haven't been able to get this horse bred for 5 or 6 years. It's never, ever settled, the mare. And I said, well, okay, cool. So we set on a date that they were going to bring the horse over. Got the horse over, and I'm telling you, I was dumbfounded when that horse came out of the trailer. My mouth just dropped, and I thought, duh, no wonder it's never settled. You could see the hip bones on that horse. You could count every rib. Its withers. It just made you sick, and kind of made me mad. I'll just be real honest. I'd love to say that I just responded with a heart of love. But I looked at the person. I said, "You got to be kidding." I said, "You seriously want to try to breed this horse?" I said, "I'm just going to tell you. I don't know. I don't care. I don't whatever. But I'm going to tell you what. This horse is not in a state of health, and this horse will never get pregnant. Because here's one of the things. One of the first things that shuts down in ill health or ill nutrition is the animal will shut off its reproduction capabilities." Well, what do we do? You ever heard of this thing called feed? No. I did want to respond that way, but I knew that wouldn't be the godly way to respond. I said, well, first of all, you know, we're not going to do anything with this horse until we get this horse healthy. Well, I've tried. Okay, well, we're going to try harder and keep it at my place, and it's going to cost you. Everything I put in this horse, you're going to pay for. Everything that I put in this horse, you're going to pay for, and you're not going to question it, or you're going to take the horse off my property, and you're going to have somebody else do it. But if you want me to breed this horse, here's the deal. This horse is going to stay here until it's healthy. So it took about 45 days to get that horse into a spot that it even started to look like, you know, a healthy horse. And by the end of the summer, we got that horse bred, and everybody was happy, and happier than Hogan and Turnip Patch. There you go. The horse's health had to get to a spot before it could be productive, before it could be fruitful. Here's the thing about the fruit bearer. When we're healthy, let me just tell you something. To bear fruit does not take away from you. Amen? In other words, you take a healthy horse. I'll talk about a horse because I've bred a lot of horses. You take a healthy horse that's in good flesh. You breed that horse to a stud. That horse gets settled. Now it's pregnant. Now you got that little fetus growing on the inside. About 11 months later, that everything being, you know, right, that mare is going to pop out a little colt. The thing is you've got to feed that horse right, keep that horse exercised. And you know what? When that horse delivers that foal and feeds that foal and eventually wean that foal, you know what? That mare is not worse at all. It didn't take away from that mare. Are you with me? That mare was able to give of something that then somebody else would be able to take the fruit of that and enjoy it. An apple tree that produces apples, you know, you never hear that, you know, those apples finally get picked or drop or however you do it. And then you don't hear this big sigh of relief from that apple tree. It's like, oh God, it's going to take me forever to recover. What? It's designed to be fruitful. It's not the worst. In fact, when it gets pruned a little bit, it will be able to produce more, bigger, better fruit. In fact, the American farmer is the testament to the ability of somebody to take an acre of land. Nobody in the world can compete with the American farmer in taking an acre of land and make it productive. That's really the truth. And you know what? We're getting better every year. Is it the same dirt? Pretty much. Same climate? Pretty much. What's happening? We're motivated, and we're going to say this. The American farmer says, you know what? I think we can do better. I think we can do better. Let's change our management practices. Let's change our machinery practices. Let's change our water habits. Let's try this. Let's try that. And you know what? Getting better and better and better. We've lost more land than you can possibly imagine. I read a deal that America is losing 18,000 acres of land a day to subdivisions and things like that. But do you know what? The American farmer still keeps producing more. Isn't that incredible? Believers, how many believers do you know are worse off than they were 15 years ago? Or how many do you know that just kind of like an Energizer bunny, they just not only keep going, but they get better at going? Amen. Let's read here. All right. Look, since we heard of your faith in Christ, your health, and of your love for all the saints, obviously your fruit, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Look at this, which has come to you as it has to all the world and is bringing forth fruit. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying, hey, you Colossians, you're pretty incredible. Your health in Christ, your faith in Christ has made the news. I've heard of you, of how healthy you are, and wow, the fruit you're producing are incredible because you've heard the gospel as everybody else has, but unlike everybody else, you have taken it and have become fruitful. That's powerful. You see, there's some people, there's some Christians that haven't popped out any fruit in years. Isn't that right? I've known Christians that to look at their life, the news that we may heard is, ooh, how unhealthy they are and how you haven't done anything. Something for us to consider, huh? If we, let's just pretend that we're the church of Twin Falls. We're not. We're part of the church of Twin Falls. But let's just pretend there's no other churches in Twin Falls. This is the Christian community of Twin Falls. And Paul wrote the letter to us. It would be interesting for us to wonder how he would address the letter to us. From, let's pretend Paul's living in, he'd be a Western guy. Let's pretend that he's living in Colorado. Right? How would the letter be addressed to us? Would it be, hey, AGF, we give thanks to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ because we've heard of your faith. I'm telling you what, we've heard it all the way out here in Denver, Colorado. And what you have done for the body of Christ, your fruit's pretty amazing. I would hope that would be what it would be. I would hate to get the letter. Hey, AGF, you call yourself what? A Christian? Okay, we need to work on acting like it. Your fruit needs to line up with what you call yourself. Now, I'm not saying we're that. I'm just saying, on an individual level, let's ask ourselves the question, how healthy am I? Am I at a spot that I'm producing fruit? Well, how do you gauge that, Pastor? Well, just look at your life. Is there a fruitfulness in your life? Am I growing, expanding? Because look at this. This letter is just really incredible to me. Look at verse 7. As you also learned from Epaphras. So here's what the Colossian church had. They had somebody in their midst by the name of Epaphras. You can't find a whole lot about this guy. You can find a little bit, but you can't find tons about him. It says, as you learned from Epaphras. Learned what? Learned how to come to the faith and then learn how to love, to bear fruit. So you know what? We all need somebody in our lives that we can look to that can help us how to be fruitful. Amen? Because have you ever seen some people? You've looked at some people's Christian walk and you just go, wow, have they ever got it going on? Incredible. There's some people that I come across that love the Lord that I just look at them and I go, isn't it? Man, it inspires me to see how they serve God and then just serve God on their own, but then to look at the fruit that they're producing in life. I look at the fruit that shows up in their children. I look at the fruit that shows up in their job. I just look at the fruit that shows up in their marriage and their relationships. I just look at it and go, wow, that's inspiring. Now let's go on further because this is incredible. Verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, heard of what? Heard of your faith, your health, and heard of your fruit, your love for all the saints. Look, so we do not cease to pray for you. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds just a little bit, not weird in the sense, but you just could go, wait a minute, Paul, you're commending them for their faith and for the fruit that they're producing, and then Paul felt the need to pray for them. You would almost think that you would need to pray more for those that aren't producing fruit, right? But here's the cool thing about Paul. He says, I do not cease to give thanks to God for you, and I ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, in all spiritual understanding. Look at verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know what Paul's doing? Paul's coming alongside the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God does the pruning in our lives. Paul is simply praying it out, saying that you would be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you'd be fully pleasing to Him, walking and being fruitful in every good work, growing and increasing in the knowledge of God. Look in verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father. That's the ethos of it. Giving thanks to God the Father, who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So Paul is saying, hey, I commend you for your spiritual health. I commend you for your spiritual fruit that you're producing. But Colossian church, I'm praying that you'll even be more fruitful. More fruitful. Turn to your neighbor and say, more fruitful. Listen, we can do it, guys. We can be more fruitful. But Pastor, I'm already producing fruit. Cool. Produce bigger and more. Isn't it in our humanness, if we're not careful, for those that are at retirement age, I want to just, first of all, commend you for a job well done. But then I also want to challenge you. If you're not careful, we'll take that kind of physical side of our life, our working years. And cool, we come to a place that, I don't know if this is really a right way to say it, but you've kind of done your dues. You've put in your time. You've worked hard. And now you're reaping the fruit of your labors in retirement. That's wonderful. But I want to encourage us as Christians. Don't ever get into that mindset that now you can coast. Amen? Because listen, we can't coast. How many of you know that God wants us to be fruitful in our old age? And, well, I've produced enough fruit. Oh, but you can, God, when God looks at you, He goes, you know what, I think you can be even more fruitful. And I know some of our minds go, well, I'm tired. Listen, let's energize ourselves. Let's stir ourselves up to say, you know what? In fact, I'll just say this, that those that are, and I don't even know why I'm talking about this, but those that are in those retirement years of life, you're in a spot in life that from a spiritual dimension, because you now have available to you the most precious commodity, the most expensive commodity known to man, and that's time. You can even be more fruitful from a spiritual dimension than you ever were ever before. I don't know about you. How do you want to enter heaven? I do not want to go into heaven and go, finally I made it. I kind of want to bust those doors open in heaven and go, you know, I'm here. Motivated. I want to be used up. And, you know, I don't know where Peter meeting you at the gate deal came up. I don't know wherever that came into being. But let's use that analogy. I want to get to that spot and go, hey, wait, Pete, before I enter, let me just do kind of an inventory here. And kind of just look at myself and go, all right, God wanted me to do, yeah, I did that. Okay, yeah, I did, yeah. And if I come to this, ooh, I'm not done with that. Pete, I can't come in yet. Got a little bit of work to do. Or if I'm that spot, it's like, yeah, all right, I can go in, I'm here. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, go, well, you're done. I really don't want to hear that. That would be a bad day for me. Well, yeah, he's done. I don't want to hear that. I want to be more fruit. I want to be bearing more fruit this time next year than right now. What are you saying, Pastor? I want to be a better Christian. Do you? Do you know what? I want to sin less next year than I did this year. Well, we're human. We're going to sin. Okay, cool. I understand that. We're human. We're going to sin, but we just don't need to do it as much. Can't we grow? Amen. I want to be healthier this time next year than now. Well, that's not up to you. That's up to God. Ooh, I don't think so. I wonder maybe if... Do you know what sucker branches are on a deal? They look good, but they don't serve a purpose. Are you with me? I wonder if maybe we could prune a couple pies out of our diet this next year. Just a thought. Are you with me? Some of you are like, all right, go on. You know what? I want my marriage to be more fruitful next year than it is right now. Well, you don't know her by now? Sure, 30 years later I do. But I've never lived with a 50-year-old before. But you know what? I want Drett and I's relationship to be more fruitful next year than it is right now. Regardless of whatever level of fruit it is now, I want it to be more next year. Is that possible? It sure is. Do a little pruning on her. No, you laugh too soon. Do a little pruning on me. And I'll bet you we both can be better. Babe, can you handle pruning? I can handle pruning. We're both going as long as it's from the Lord. Not from each other. Do you know what? I want to have a better I want my relationship with my children to be more fruitful next year than it is right now. And it's pretty awesome now. But I want it to be more fruitful. I want to be a better pastor next year than I am right now. Don't comment on what level I am right now. I'll just say this. I want to be better. Amen. I want the friends, my friends that are in my life, the guy friends that are in my life, I want those relationships to be more fruitful next year than they are right now. I want to make smarter decisions financially next year than I have in the past. God wants you to be fruitful in those things? Sure. Every area of your life. I want to be filled with all wisdom. I want to have more knowledge of God next year than I do now. How's that going to happen? Well, God isn't going to bring a dump truck and do it. I'm going to have to prune myself. I'm going to have to discipline myself and focus myself to be that apple tree that God created me to be so I can produce more apples. Amen? We did a huge pruning job. I did a huge pruning job on our plum tree. And I tell you what, isn't it, babe? Those plums that are on there this year are bigger than they were last year. They're more succulent. They're going to taste better. Why? Because we just focused that tree just a little bit further. Here's the thing is we put that on corn and wheat and plum trees and peach trees and cattle and horses and sheep and whatever it may be. But how many of you know we're humans? It's not going to be forced upon us. We have to make the choice. But when we make the choice, here's what's cool. The vine dresser, God, through His Holy Spirit, helps us to look at those deals and go, oops, Lynn, you need to prune. There's a sucker branch in your life. But I thought it looked good. Yeah, it looked good, but it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Cut it off. And guess what? We'll be better for it, not the worse. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.